Hi, I'm Ray Hager, subbing for Sam Shadden. Welcome to an all-new edition of Nevada Newsmakers. Today's guest is Bethany Drysdale, the Chief Communications Officer of the Nevada Division of Tourism. And on our pundit panel, we have Dayla Gibson, Dave Mulligan, and James Smack. It's all coming up next on an all-new edition of Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shadd, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shadd.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is Bethany Drysdale. She's the Chief Communications Officer for Travel Nevada and Nevada Division of Tourism. Welcome to you, Bethany.
Thanks for coming in.
You know, before we start, I just want to give our viewers and listeners a little bit of background on just how important tourism is to Nevada. It employs close to 500,000 people in Nevada, and their income collectively is like $20 billion. State and local taxes for tourism generate almost $5 billion in taxes. It's still not enough to pay for President Trump's wall, but it's another subject, but almost 57 million visitors annually to Nevada, so that's quite a responsibility. I wanted to ask you first, we have a new governor, a new lieutenant governor. Do you see any changes in the direction that the state executive officers will give you in promotion of tourism?
I don't think so. Tourism has been the number one industry in Nevada for a long time. It will continue to be. I don't think that will change direction. It's working. We're getting record numbers of visitors, record income from tax revenue. So no, I don't see a change in direction. Our focus for a long time has been really promoting the rural areas of Nevada, and that will continue.
Okay, that's what I want. Leads me to another question, because the lieutenant governor, one of the biggest, or maybe the biggest responsibility, is chairing the Committee on Tourism. Mm-hmm. Kate Marshall is coming in. I understand she's gung-ho about promoting rural Nevada. Have you had a talk with her, or have any of the executives in the tourism industry spoken to the lieutenant governor about her wishes for tourism?
We have, just very informally so far, but she is a big proponent of the rural communities, so I see that continuing. She's talked about wanting to really help local rural business owners, and that's something that we can do in tourism. When people go to a small community, they want to live like the locals. They want to buy local products. They want to support local businesses. So I think that goes hand in hand with her objectives.
Okay, I wanted to see what your niche or your area of focus is in tourism, because in Nevada we have the Las Vegas Visitors and Convention Authority, which boosts tourism in our largest city, Las Vegas, which is the economic engine for Nevada. We also have that RSCVA in Reno and Sparks. We have one in Elko, one in Fallon. So what does the Division of Tourism do? What is your main focus on promotion of tourism?
We really work very closely with all of those visitors bureaus. Even Las Vegas, you know, they do so much promotion on their own, but we get people into Las Vegas and then out from there. And that's really one of our primary focuses, trying to get people into our hub cities, Reno, Las Vegas, and then get out to explore the rural areas. So we work very closely with our CVA, with the LVCVA, but we want to get people just a little bit farther out.
How well is that working? Are people attracted to maybe Nevada's Old West or Wild West heritage?
Absolutely. We see a lot of repeat visitors who have done Las Vegas. They've done Tahoe. And those places are great, but they want to see more. So they'll drive the loneliest road and go out to Ely. They'll go to Great Basin National Park. There's a really interesting kind of resurgence of interest in the Wild West heritage. A lot of young travelers, a lot of millennial travelers that want to see kind of the real West. And in Nevada, we are kind of unique in that we have a lot of the real Western heritage. Things are not behind, you know, fences. They're not behind, you know, museum displays. You can walk out to Grimes Point outside of Fallon and see petroglyphs where they were created by American Indian settlers. So it's a very real experience, and there's a big pent-up desire for that.
Well, you mentioned fences. One of the greatest slogans of Nevada tourism is "Don't fence me in." Where did that come from? How did you come up with the idea of "Don't fence me in" in a way to promote all of Nevada, the rural and rugged parts of the state?
Everything we do is driven by research. So we did a lot of research into what people already believe about Nevada and what attracts them to Nevada. And that was one of the biggest things. Being primarily public open land, we're about 80% public land, that is very attractive to travelers, especially from urban areas, New York, LA, where you can't just go anywhere and explore anywhere. Mm-hmm. So through a lot of research, through a lot of creative development with our ad agency and PR agency, we came up with Don't Fence Me In. What was really fun is that the Killers, famous Las Vegas band known all over the world,
right,
they were totally on board with it, and they recorded our song for it. They recorded Don't Fence Me In for us, free of charge, just as a service to the state that they love.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful song. I really enjoy the way they do it.
Yeah.
When I was at the Reno Gazette Journal, I covered tourism for a stint, and what I remember from that is how popular rural Nevada was to international travelers, specifically from Japan. But about international tourism, now one time Congresswoman Dina Titus was on the show, and she was concerned that some of President Trump's immigration policies may hurt international tourism to Nevada. Have you seen that in the 2 years that President Trump has led our nation?
We've seen a decrease, but there's a lot of speculation that it has more to do with the strength of the dollar than anything, any rhetoric out there. We can't pinpoint exactly what the downturn might be, and I shouldn't say downturn. Visitation is still very high. It's not growing quite as quickly, but there's, like I said, a lot of speculation about the strength of the dollar, and it's just more expensive for people to come here from other parts of the world.
Okay, Bethany, let's take a break right here. I want to ask you about marijuana tourism when we get back. We'll be right back with more with Bethany Drysdale after these few words.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to HomeEnergyExperts.com for details. That's HomeEnergyExperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest, of course, is Bethany Drysdale. She's the Chief Communications Officer for Travel Nevada and Nevada Division of Tourism. Bethany, on the show recently, Tick Sagerbloom, who used to be a state senator, now he's on the, you know, Clark County Commission, probably the most powerful political board in our state. And he was talking about promoting Nevada's marijuana laws, which allows those over 21 to ingest recreational marijuana. He wanted to start maybe what he called marijuana tourism, but he said the big bugaboo here is that there's really no legal place for tourists to smoke marijuana in Nevada, because the way the law is written, it says it's only to be consumed in your home. So what is the state's outlook on the promotion of marijuana as a tourism hook?
We have those conversations a lot in our office, and right now there is no legal way to consume it unless you really live here, so it doesn't make sense to promote it to visitors. Most visitors coming here are probably staying in a casino of some sort. Casinos are under federal regulation, so it just doesn't make sense right now. A lot of other states are catching up to us, so we may not be that singular for too much longer. So for now, we don't need to promote it. People are coming here for other reasons, and it's just not something we're going to do. We are tracking it, though. We have a visitor profile study that we do every year, and so we're tracking to see if people are interested in that, but for now, it's not making much of a difference.
Okay, well, that's logical to me, because you don't promote alcohol consumption in your tourism message either. So I think it's a good, fair way to do it. One of the things that you spoke about between the break is that the image of Sin City, that just doesn't translate well to international tourism, and maybe, you know, Sin City for Las Vegas. Could you maybe expand on that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think of Sin City, that kind of old cliche for Las Vegas, but the words themselves, Sin City, just they don't translate well in other languages, in other cultures. It's actually kind of a turnoff in some cultures. So there's no reason to really keep perpetuating that. Las Vegas has a goal of hitting 30% of their visitation being from international sources. So that term just doesn't really work in those areas.
Okay, Bethany, what are the countries where Nevada gets most of its international visitors from?
Well, logically, Mexico and Canada, they're the closest to us. We get a lot of visitors. The primary international base is from those countries. Mm-hmm. But other than that, Europe, we have a very strong promotion effort in the UK, Germany, France. A lot of visitors from those markets, a lot from China, of course. We also see a lot of visitors from Australia and New Zealand. I think the kind of Wild West, get out and explore spirit translates really well in the Australian and New Zealand culture. So while the numbers aren't huge, because they don't have a huge population, mm-hmm. The percentage is high of people from Australia coming to Nevada.
So those are the people maybe that you really target when you promote rural Nevada and the old Wild West image of Nevada then?
We do. Some of those markets, the German market as well, they really get that kind of explorative, that's not a word, but that type of spirit. They understand getting out in the rural areas, and they really like that. And in Australia, traveling 8 hours to go somewhere is no big deal. So it really works well in Nevada. And then even in like China, they've been to the big cities in the U.S. They're coming back now, and they're wanting to see more of that real, authentic experience. So we're seeing a lot of Chinese visitors in rural Nevada as well.
A former Lieutenant Governor Brian Frohlicke, he really pushed the idea to the legislature about opening up international Nevada tourism offices in other, like in China and in India perhaps, and Brazil. Has that taken place yet, or do you see that coming with the new administration?
No, you know, Lieutenant Governor Frohlicke was really a big proponent of expanding where we promote Nevada. Due to him and former Lieutenant Governor Lorraine Hunt Bono, we were the first state in the U.S. to promote tourism in China, and that was a really, really big deal. We've since expanded to India, we're in Brazil, we're in South America, of course, Mexico. We're actually right now going through an RFP process to expand in South Korea and Japan. So I can say they've got the ball rolling, and it'll keep rolling.
Has the emergence of gaming in Asian markets, like Japan is just on the brink of opening up casinos, has that hurt Nevada tourism at all?
Not that we've seen. People still want the Las Vegas type of gaming, the Las Vegas experience. And I use Las Vegas as really an adjective, that type of experience can be found throughout Nevada. They want to come to the U.S. to gamble. They don't want to stay at home. And, you know, gambling is actually just a small percentage of what people are coming here to do. It used to be about 75% of the reason people came here, and now it's about 25%.
Yes, people come here not only to sightsee, but also to shop and for entertainment and other, to take advantage of other venues. One last thing I want to ask you about. There is a new zip line over the Las Vegas Strip coming in 2019. Could you quickly talk about that?
I don't know when that's going to open. It's opening, like you said, in 2019. Zip lines are a new thing. I don't really understand it. There's one in downtown Las Vegas over the Fremont Street Experience. So it'll be a new thing for people to do in Las Vegas, and new. Everything is always new in Las Vegas.
Right, so but just zip right.
Just zip right down. Amazing. It'll be from the observation wheel, the high roller. Mm-hmm. Over the strip, and it'll be a fun thing to do.
Well, it's something to look forward to.
Yes.
We'll be right back with today's pundit panel right after these few words.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers for our pundit panel. We got a great crew today. First, Dayla Gibson, Planned Parenthood, Mara Monte, welcome to you. James Smack, former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Welcome to you, James.
Thanks.
And last but not least, Dave Mulligan, the author of Mulligan's Wake and a well-known podcaster. Welcome to you all. Dayla, as we tape this show, we're heading for day 24 of the government partial government shutdown of the federal government. Do you see this ending soon, and where do you put the blame on Trump, or do you put the blame on Pelosi and Schumer? How do you see this?
I definitely put the blame on Trump, Mr. Trump. I don't know if it's going to end anytime soon. It's very frustrating when you have the shutdown that claims to be in the name of border security and homeland security, yet the people who are working for us to keep us safe are the very ones that aren't being paid, such as the TSA. I just flew last week to Vegas. I had a meeting in Vegas, and I was thanking the TSA agents the entire time I was going through the screening because they aren't getting paid, and there may be back pay. However, when? You know, Mr. Trump has said that it could be months or years, and that's frustrating because they don't have a choice, and I feel that that can compromise our safety far more than any non-wall has ever done.
James, is the wall the way to go to protect the government or protect our country, and should we have a shutdown until we get it?
Well, I think border security is far overdue for being addressed. Whether the wall is the right answer or whether there's another answer, that remains to be seen. I think it's time for the cooler heads in the room to finally get together and say, let's figure out the resolution to this. I don't care if it's 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats, 15 Republicans, 15 Democrats. The number is irrelevant to me. Put X number of reasonable people on the D team and the R team into a room, tell them to strike a deal, and the president be beholden to that deal. And once that deal is done, whatever that deal ends up being, if we have that many reasonable people still in Washington at this point in time, let's get it done. Let's get it over with. I agree as far as getting folks that are having to work. You know what? You're working. You should be getting paid as you're working. And the fact of the matter is that if you're not getting paychecks for TSA or the Coast Guard or whoever it is, you've made your political point at this point in time. Let's get some cooler heads in a room. Let's get a deal done. And whatever, if it ends up being $5 billion for the wall out of that deal, great. If it ends up being $2 billion for the wall, outstanding. Whatever that deal is between those reasonable people in a room, I can live with at this point.
Dave, do you think Trump would go for a compromise where he gets $2 billion for his wall?
Well, there was a deal on the table at first that was approved through both houses. I mean, he made an about face because they called him out. Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh, they said, if you don't get your wall as you ask for it, you've lost. So he did an about face. But you answered your own question, the original question, whose responsibility is the shutdown? Donald Trump sat in the Oval Office with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and said, the shutdown is mine. I proudly take the mantle on my shoulders. I admit it, it's mine. I proudly take that title, and he's done it. And now he's trying to walk that back. It's just ridiculous. It's his shutdown, and he's going to fail. I mean, I think they've already made it very clear they're not going to give him $5.8 billion. And the wall, to me, is symbolic of the ugly American aspect he brings to what we have now. When he wants to replace the Statue of Liberty as our symbol, with a wall, and it's not going to happen.
Well, let me back to this story and this talking about a national emergency and using that to build the wall. I am 100% against that, and the reason why I'm against that is if you use it for this and call this a national emergency, when we get a Democrat administration back in the presidency, and we will at some point in time, what will they consider a national emergency? Will they consider a national emergency to be gun violence and then use the national emergency in order to stop bullet production or to stop gun production in this country or
that's
something of
start.
That nature?
That's a start.
And the thing is, that's where I'm saying I don't think the national emergency is the way to go here. I don't think this is. I think that is something that I almost think the Democrat team is saying, go ahead and make my day on that one. Go ahead and bring it in because number one, they're going to fight it in the courts. And number two, it's just, it's something that it turns into a slippery slope for the D team to use down
the road. So you're not against it because it's wrong. You're against it because you fear what would happen next time, and it's a slippery slope.
Well, I think it's wrong as well. I don't think it's the right thing to use a national emergency for.
Right, I agree.
And I think that, and I think that the same thing with executive orders. I think executive order powers have been abused by several presidencies, and I've felt that way for years. I would love to see executive orders be taken before the Supreme Court and get all of them wiped out all the way back to Washington for all.
Hey, Ayla, you get the last word on this.
I feel that both of these gentlemen had great things to say, and it feels like the more prevailing heads that are saying and calling out the GOP and Mr. Trump to say, you know, this needs to end. We need to bring people together. There was a deal before. What can we do to end this? Because this is not the way to go, and it shouldn't. This shouldn't be where we stand for our country.
Well, you know, a national emergency like this, just look what happened with Harry Reid and the nuclear option that, mm-hmm. you know, how the Republicans used that against him. So you make a great point, but we got to stop it right there. We'll be right back to end this segment of Nevada Newsmakers, or this show, right after these few words.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. On our next broadcast, we'll have one of the leaders of the Nevada Legislature, Assembly Majority Leader Teresa Benitez Thompson of Reno. That's coming up on the next Nevada Newsmakers.